figure in medieval costume raises a dagger and plunges it into the chest of a man sleeping on a couch. The murderer looks at his hands, covered in blood. In the audience, Captain Kirk sits with an old friend, Dr. Thomas Layton.
Interesting. An Arcturian Macbeth.
Watch him. Watch Macbeth.
Kirk glances at Layton, amused by his vehemence. Macbeth, being played by an actor in his 50s, goes to the door of the King's Chamber, beyond which the two drugged guards can be seen sleeping. Lady Macbeth, a young woman in a brown wig and long velvet dress, comes up to him.
Is he dead? Speak. Is King Duncan dead?
Lord Great Neptune's ocean, wash this blood clean from my hands. That voice. How is back?
Every noise appalls me.
That man on the stage. I'm certain of it. That's Kodos, the executioner.
Pluck out mine eyes!
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. The Conscience of the King.
Captain's log, stardate 2817.6. Starship Enterprise diverted from scheduled course. Purpose? To confirm discovery by Dr. Thomas Layton of an extraordinary new synthetic food which would totally end the threat of famine on Cygnia Minor, a nearby Earth colony.
Do you mean to tell me you've called me 3 light years off my course just to accuse an actor of being Kodos?
He is Kodos, I'm sure of it.
You said you discovered a new food concentrate. What am I supposed to put in my log? That you lied, that you diverted a starship with false information? You're not only in trouble, you've put me in trouble too.
I did it to trap Kodos.
Kodos is dead.
Is he? Is anyone sure? A body burned beyond recognition?
Tom, the authorities closed the book on that case years ago.
Then let's reopen it. Jim, 4,000 people were butchered.
Martha, will you tell him?
I can't tell him anything, Jim. He's been like this since the company of actors arrived.
Kirk walks slowly away from the table.
Kodos is dead. I'm satisfied with that.
Well, I'm not. I remember him. That voice. A bloody thing he did.
Layton turns, revealing half his face covered by a black mask.
Jim, I need your help. There were only 8 or 9 of us who actually saw Kodos. I was one, you're another. If he's to be exposed...
He's dead.
Then it'll be a ghost Martha and I receive in our home tonight. I invited the entire company to a cocktail party. I have to be sure.
And I have to get back to my ship and figure out how I'm going to enter all this in my log. Oh, Martha.
He goes. Layton, his left eye and most of the left side of his face covered by the cloth mask, looks troubled. On the Enterprise, Kirk sits alone in one of the briefing rooms.
Library computer.
History files. Subject, former Governor Kodos of Tarsus IV, also known as Kodos the Executioner. After that, background on actor Anton Caridian.
Working. Kodos the Executioner. Summary, Governor of Tarsus IV, 20 Earth years ago, in invoked martial law, slaughtered 50% of population Earth colony that planet. Burned body found when Earth forces arrived. No positive identification. Case closed. Detailed information follows. On star date 2794.7.
Stop.
Kodos.
Information on Anton Caridian.
Director and star of Traveling Company of Actors, sponsored by Galactic Cultural Exchange Project. Touring official installations last 9 years. Has daughter Lenore, 19 years old, traveling with.
Give comparative identification between actor Caridian and Governor Kodos.
No identification records available on actor Anton Caridian.
Kirk's brown eyes flicker.
Give information on actor Caridian prior to Kodos' death.
No information available, Anton Caridian, prior to 20 years ago.
Kirk switches on the view screen on the table.
Photograph Kodos.
A gaunt face with red hair and a beard appears.
Photograph Caridian.
The hair is silver, but the features are similar.
Now photograph both.
Side by side, the similarities are striking. The door opens and Spock steps into the room.
Mr. Spock. You know Dr. Layton, don't you? Would you say he's given to fantasy?
A good empirical research scientist. Steady, reputable, occasionally brilliant.
With a very long memory.
I have no information on that, Captain. We are ready to leave orbit.
We'll delay departure for a time. I'm beaming back down to the planet again.
Later, drink in hand, Kirk steps from a crowded patio into the Layton's house. Martha Layton comes past from the kitchen with a tray of drinks.
Where's Tom?
He went to town. He called. He's on his way back.
Kirk is about to follow her back outside when he sees a young woman in a blue dress just arriving. Despite her long, loosely piled up blonde hair, it's obviously Lady Macbeth. Kirk gives her his most winning smile, which she returns guardedly.
The others are on the patio.
I take it you're the welcoming committee. Is that for me?
Why not?
Their fingers touch as he hands over his glass.
I saw your performance tonight. May I extend my appreciation?
My father will be delighted, Mr.
Captain James Kirk, Starship Enterprise.
We're honored.
I had hoped to meet your father here tonight personally.
I'm sorry, Captain Kirk. He has a rigid rule about that. He never sees anyone personally, and he never attends parties.
An actor turning away his admirers? Very unusual.
Caridian is a most unusual man. You saw Macbeth? It was my father.
Well, then I'll talk to Lady Macbeth.
They sit on a sofa.
So, Captain of the Enterprise. Interesting.
So, Lady Macbeth. Interesting. What's your next move?
She looks up, her eyes sparkling.
We play two performances at Benicia. If the Astral Queen can get us there.
She's a good ship.
A waiter passes.
Thank you. You were very impressive as Lady Macbeth.
Thank you. And is Lenore Caridian?
He nods.
Very impressive. Lenore.
He helps her to her feet.
I'd like to see you again.
You mean professionally?
Not necessarily.
I think I'd like that. Unfortunately, we must keep a schedule.
You don't have a schedule now, do you?
You mean leave? But I've only just arrived.
So have I.
And you hate to overstay a welcome.
Exactly.
Why not?
I'll make our apologies to our hostess. I'll meet you outside.
She watches him go with an amused smile. Later, wearing a sheer mantilla-like scarf, she strolls with him through the rocky desert landscape.
Tired of walking?
Just thinking.
About what?
At the party, you were such a brash young man.
And now?
Now somehow different. Not a ship's captain with all those people to be strong and confident in front of. You know, you're really very dear, aren't you? In some ways, very lonely.
She places her hands on his chest and he's just about to pull her into his arms when he notices over her shoulder a body lying on the ground beside a rocky outcrop, its head hidden by a boulder. He runs over and crouches beside the figure. A molded black mask covers its left eye and half its face.
It's Tom Layton.
Lenore puts a hand to her mouth.
He's dead.
Later, the body lies on a settee in the Layton's house. Kirk watches as Martha draws a blanket over Layton's head and stands looking down at him.
At least he has peace now. He never really had it before. Oh, why was Tom killed? If what he suspected wasn't true.
I don't know. I'll try and find out.
She buries her face in Kirk's chest before hurrying away. Behind Kirk, the purple sky beyond the window darkens into night.
Kirk to Enterprise.
Bridge here, Captain.
Put me through to Captain John Daly of the Astral Queen on Orbit Station, and put it on scramble, will you?
Captain Daly's on, sir.
John, Jim Kirk.
Hi, Jim.
Can you do me a favor?
I owe you a dozen. Just ask.
Don't make your pickup here.
You mean strand all those actors?
I'll pick them up. And if there's any trouble, it'll be my responsibility.
Will do. Anything else?
Just keep this between the two of us and accept my thanks. Over and out. Kirk to Enterprise.
Bridge here, Captain.
Transporter room. Ready to beam up.
Later in the well of the bridge, Kirk sits in the captain's chair. Spock, the half-Vulcan, half-human science officer, steps down from the surrounding gallery to stand behind him.
Ready to resume course, Captain.
I think we're due for a pickup.
What kind? Personnel? Cargo?
Captain, a Miss Caridian has been transported aboard ship. She requests permission to see you.
Tell her to come up to the bridge.
Right. Escort Miss Caridian to the bridge.
The blonde actress, wearing a purple-striped, strapless, fur mini-dress and spangly silver tights, leaves the transporter room.
How did you know this lady was coming aboard?
I'm the captain.
Spock straightens up with a quizzical frown. Lenore arrives, and Kirk stands to greet her.
Captain Kirk, I didn't think we'd be meeting again so soon.
You probably wouldn't believe me if I told you I arranged it.
No, but it's a delightful thought. Captain, I'm afraid we need your help. We've been stranded. It seems that our transportation is cancelled out on us.
Can't you make other arrangements?
Well, yes, but not in time. You see, our schedule is like a chain. One break and it all collapses.
It'd be a shame if that happened.
If ever we needed a good Samaritan.
Kirk shrugs and sits back down.
Well,
I appeal to you.
The regulations are very clear about taking on passengers.
I'll make a bargain with you, Captain.
What have you got to trade?
Special performance for the crew in exchange for a lift.
You make it sound very interesting. The crew has been on patrol for a long time. They could use a break in the monotony.
Then you'll do it.
You've got me backed into a corner. The men would never forgive me if I deprived them of your performance and your presence.
Thank you, Captain. I'm eternally grateful. I'll get the company ready. This means so much to them.
Mr. Spock, prepare to leave orbit as soon as the Caridian Company is aboard the ship.
Lenore leaves the bridge.
May I inquire as to our course, Captain?
Benicia Colony.
Benicia Colony is 8 light-years off our course.
My memory needs refreshing, Mr. Spock. I'll ask you for it. In the meantime, follow my orders.
His expression steely, his eyes narrowed. Kirk resumes the captain's chair.
Captain's log, stardate 2818.9. There are many questions in my mind. Too many, perhaps. About the actor Caridian and his daughter. For personal reasons, I'm almost afraid to learn the answers.
On the bridge,
Mr. Spock, ETA the Benicia Colony.
But Arrived star date 2825.3, Captain. Approximately 1500 Benicia time.
Kirk gets up from the captain's chair, steps up to the gallery, and sits down at the science officer's station in front of Spock's computer.
Library computer.
Data on questions submitted to personnel files.
Data being received. Kodos file. Of all survivors, there are 9 actual eyewitnesses who can identify Kodos.
Stop. Give list.
Kirk J., presently Enterprise Captain. Layton T., Molson E., Riley K., Eames D.
Stop. Is that Star Service Lieutenant Kevin Riley?
Affirmative. Riley Kevin, presently assigned USS Enterprise Communications Section.
Stop.
Mr. Spock.
Captain.
Lieutenant Kevin Riley in communications. I wish to have him transferred down to the engineering decks.
He came up from engineering, Captain.
Well, I'm sending him back.
Any explanation? He's a fine young officer. He's bound to consider this transfer a disciplinary action.
I don't wish to discuss it, Mr. Spock. Please follow my orders.
Sick bay.
Mr. Spock, the man on top walks along his street. The chain of command is often a noose.
Spare me your philosophical metaphors, Doctor.
McCoy sips his drink.
Captain is acting strangely. I'm asking if you've noticed.
Negative. You know, this is the first time in a week that I've had time for a drop of the truth. Would you care for a drink, Mr. Spock?
My father's race was spared the dubious benefits of alcohol.
Oh, now I know why they were conquered. What are you so worried about anyway? I find Jim generally knows what he's doing.
It was illogical for him to bring those players aboard.
Illogical? Did you get a look at that little Juliet? That's a pretty exciting creature. Of course, your personal chemistry would prevent you from seeing that. Did it ever occur to you that he simply might like the girl?
It occurred. I dismissed it.
You would?
Did you know that he suddenly transferred Lieutenant Riley to engineering?
There are lots of things that are going around here that I don't know, Mr. Spock. Now, he's the captain. He can transfer people as he pleases. You can look that up in 100 volumes of space regulation somewhere, all right? All right. Now, come on, have a drink.
No, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. But I will. And please, Mr. Spock, if you won't join me, don't disapprove of me. At least not until you've tried it, huh?
Spock folds his arms. Kirk leads Lenore onto the dimly lit observation deck. They're alone.
This is the observation deck. That's the flight deck down there with the shuttlecraft.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Tell me, Captain Kirk.
Anything?
Did you order the soft lights especially for the occasion?
If I had ordered soft lights, I'd also have arranged for music and flowers. Unfortunately, it isn't so. On the Enterprise, we try to duplicate Earth conditions of night and day as closely as possible.
Star light, star bright. I wish I may, I wish I might. Do you remember that, Captain?
It's very old.
Almost as old as the stars themselves. And the ship. All this power surging and throbbing, yet under control. Are you like that, Captain?
Smiling, he raises one eyebrow and crosses the deck to stand in front of her.
All this power at your command, yet the decisions that you have to make
come from a very human source.
Are you, Captain?
He moves to her side.
You can count on it.
Tell me about the women in your world, Captain.
I'd rather talk about you. You must have wanted to perform since the first time you saw your father act. When was that?
In the beginning.
Tell me about it.
That's not fair. You haven't answered my question about the women.
What would you like to know?
Has the machine changed them? Made them just people instead of women?
Worlds may change, galaxies disintegrate, but a woman always remains a woman.
All this, and power too. Caesar of the stars, and Cleopatra to worship him.
They kiss passionately. Alone on the bridge, Spock sits at the science station, deep in thought.
Library computer.
Full personal dossiers on the following names. Dr. Thomas Layton. Anton Caridian. Lieutenant Kevin Riley. And Captain James T. Kirk.
Accomplished. Standing by.
Correlate. Check their past histories. Report any item, any past episode or experience they all have in common.
Affirmative.
Later, Spock walks the lower deck corridors with McCoy.
I appreciate whatever concern you may have for the ship's company, Mr. Spock.
I will continue, Doctor. According to our library banks, it started on the Earth colony of Tarsus IV, and the food supply was attacked by an exotic fungus and largely destroyed. There were over 8,000 colonists and virtually no food, and that was when Governor Kodos seized full power and declared emergency martial law.
I've heard of it.
You may not have heard it all. Kodos began to separate the colonists. Some would live, be rationed whatever food was left. The remainder would be immediately put to death. Apparently, he had his own theories of eugenics.
Unfortunately, he wasn't the first.
Perhaps not. But he was certainly among the most ruthless to decide arbitrarily who would survive and who would not, using his own personal standards, and then to implement his decision without mercy. Children watching their parents die, whole families destroyed, over 4,000 people. They died quickly, without pain. But they died. Relief arrived, but too late to prevent the executions. And Kodos, there never was a positive identification of his body.
But what is Caridian to do with it?
His history begins almost to the day where Kodos disappeared.
And you think Jem suspects he's Kodos?
He'd better. There were 9 eyewitnesses who survived the massacre, who'd actually seen Kodos with their own eyes. Jim Kirk was one of them. With the exception of Riley and Captain Kirk, every other eyewitness is dead, and my library computer shows that wherever they were, on Earth, on a colony, or aboard ship, the Caridian company of players was somewhere near when they died.
It's unbelievable.
In engineering, Riley sits at the main desk, tapping a pencil, an uneaten tray of food and a glass of milk at his side. He turns on the intercom.
Hey, rec room, somebody.
Talk to me.
In the rec room.
Larry Madsen here. Is that you, Riley? What's up?
Not me. I am down in the engineering room.
Oh, you've been a bad boy.
Maybe so. Whatever I've done, they're sure keeping it a secret from me.
Hey, is that a horror playing? Now let me talk to her.
I think his heart is sore.
What can I do for you, Riley?
A song. Make it a love song. Just something to reassure me I'm not the only living thing left in the universe, huh?
Well, you're not. I'll prove it to you.
She strums on a Vulcan lute. The others in the rec room look on approvingly.
The skies are green and glowing where my heart is.
Riley leans back in his chair, puts his hands behind his head and closes his eyes. Behind him, a shadow appears in the doorway. Riley opens his eyes and listens with a dreamy, melancholy expression. Behind Riley's back, a black-gloved hand squirts something from a bottle into his glass of milk.
Where my heart is, where my
Riley glances at his tray.
Is where my love eternally is waiting.
Riley looks at the plate of food, picks up the glass of milk, brings it to his lips, and pauses, listening to Uhura sing. Riley drains the glass of milk. In the rec room, the listeners look at each other and nod their approval. Uhura goes to the intercom.
How'd you like that, Riley?
Help me, please.
He collapses. McCoy and Spock look down at Riley, lying on a bed in sickbay, his breathing rapid and shallow.
You've got to pull him through. I'm not sure I can. If he dies, the only one who'll be able to identify Kodos is the captain. And he'll be the next target.
Captain's log, Stardate 2819.1. Ship's officer Riley's condition worsening. Dr. McCoy making lab analysis to determine cause and antidote. Entire crew deeply concerned.
Spock comes into sickbay.
As of this date, lab report indicates presence of appreciable amount of tetralubisol, a highly volatile lubricant in use aboard ship.
Someone tried to poison him.
Tetralubisol is a milky substance. Someone could have gotten careless and made a mistake.
I don't believe that, neither do you. I want the captain to see that report.
When I finished logging it.
Now.
All right.
McCoy follows Spock to the door. Kirk is in his quarters, working.
Come.
McCoy follows Spock into the room and puts his record pad on the desk.
My report on Lieutenant Riley.
Will he make it?
He's got a good chance.
Can we predict the same for you, Captain?
All right, Mr. Spock, let's have it.
Lieutenant Riley was a witness. So were you. All right. Someone tried to kill him.
Could have been an accident.
You should be told the difference between empiricism and stubbornness, Doctor. I checked with the library computer, just as you did. I got the same information.
Aren't you getting a little out of line, Mr. Spock? My personal business...
It's my personal business when it might interfere with the smooth operation of this ship.
You think that happened?
It could happen.
I don't like anyone meddling in my private affairs, not even my second in command.
Jim, Spock's simply trying to...
I know what he's trying to do, and I don't like it.
It's his job, and you know it.
Kirk looks at both men.
And you also know that nothing is proven.
Even in this corner of the galaxy, Captain, 2 + 2 = 4. Almost certainly an attempt will be made to kill you. Why do you invite death?
I'm not. I'm interested in justice.
Are you? Are you sure it's not vengeance?
No, I'm not sure. I wish I was. I've done things I've never done before. I've placed my command in jeopardy. From here on, I've got to determine whether or not Caridian is Kodos.
He is.
You sound certain. I wish I could be. Before I accuse a man of that, I've got to be. I saw him once, 20 years ago. Men change. Memory changes. I look at him now, he's an actor. He could have changed his appearance. No. Logic is not enough. Got to feel my way. Make absolutely sure.
What if you decide he is Kodos? What then? Do you play God, carry his head through the corridors in triumph? That won't bring back the dead, Jim.
No. But they may rest easier.
Later, alone with Spock.
Logic, Captain. Dr. Layton was murdered while the Caridian Company was on Planet Q. Now an attempt has been made against Lieutenant Riley while the company is on board the Enterprise.
Doc isn't sure that it was a murder attempt. Besides, I have an idea that may prove...
Shh. Listen, do you hear it? That low hum.
The phaser.
On overload.
Spock begins searching.
This is the cap. There's a phaser on overload, my crew. If it blows, it'll take out the entire deck. Evacuate all personnel in this water. Double red alert.
Kirk searches too.
You get out of here.
And stay.
Come on. Walk off this section. Hurry. I'll fight.
Evacuate this section. Send it off. Clear section C4 and C5.
Spock runs down the corridor. In his quarters, Kirk searches his bedroom. He puts both hands to his ears. Looking up, he sees the phaser silhouetted behind the red glass of the alert warning light. He prises off the cover, runs into the corridor, and throws the phaser down a pressure disposal chute. Spock runs up. Kirk holds up a warning hand. Thrown across the corridor, Kirk nonetheless smiles with relief. In his temporary quarters, Caridian, wearing a heavy gown that could be from a costume trunk, picks up a thumbed, battered script and sits on a couch, his gaunt but distinguished face careworn, heavy bags under his eyes. He looks up from his book, and his lips move as he runs through his lines. Kirk comes in.
We're overdue for our talk, aren't we?
I had hoped you would have respected my privacy, Captain.
A moment ago, we narrowly averted an explosion which would have destroyed several decks of the ship. Before that, someone tried to poison one of my crewmen.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sure you are.
Caridian turns his back.
Are you Cordus?
The actor's eyebrows flicker.
I asked you a question.
Do you believe that I am?
I do.
Then I am Cordus, if it pleases you to believe so. I'm an actor. I play many parts.
You're an actor now. What were you 20 years ago?
Younger, Captain. Much younger.
So was I. But I remember.
Kirk comes up behind him.
Let's see if you do. Read this into that communicator on the wall. It will be recorded and compared to a piece of Cotus voice film we have in our files. The test is virtually infallible. It will tell us whether you're Caridian or Cotus the executioner.
Kirk hands Caridian a piece of paper.
Ready for voice test. Disguising your voice will make no difference.
Caridian looks at what's written on the paper.
The revolution is successful, but survival depends on drastic measures. Your continued existence represents a threat to the well-being of society. Your lives mean slow death to the more valued members of the colony. Therefore, I have no alternative but to sentence you to death. Your executioner so ordered, signed Cordus, governor of Tarsus IV.
I remember the words. I wrote them down. You said them like you knew them. You hardly glanced at the paper.
I learned my parts very quickly.
Are you sure? Are you sure you didn't act this role out in front of a captive audience whom you blasted out of existence without mercy?
I find your use of the word mercy strangely inappropriate, Captain. Here you stand, the perfect symbol of our technical society. Mechanized. Electronicized. And not very human.
He turns away.
You've done away with humanity, the striving of man to achieve greatness through his own resources.
We've armed man with tools. The striving for greatness continues, but Cotus.
Cotus, whoever he was.
Or is.
Or is.
He rounds on Kirk.
Cotus made a decision of life and death. Some had to die that others might live. You're a man of decision, Captain. You ought to understand that.
All I understand is that 4,000 people were needlessly butchered.
In order to save 4,000 others. And if the supply ships hadn't come earlier than expected, this Cotus of yours might have gone down in history as a great hero.
But he didn't. And history has made its judgment.
You're so sure that I'm Cotus. Why not kill me now? Let bloody vengeance take its final course. See what difference it makes to this universe of yours.
Those beautiful words, well acted, change nothing.
No, I suppose not. They're merely tools, like the ship of yours.
There are no previous records to Anton Caridian prior to 20 years ago.
Blood thins, body fails. And one is finally grateful for a failing memory. treasure life, not even my own. I am tired. The past is a blank.
He turns to Kirk calmly.
Did you get everything you wanted, Captain Kirk?
If I had gotten everything I wanted, you might not walk out of this room alive.
He turns to go.
Captain Kirk.
Lenore comes from the next room and goes to her father.
You better rest. Now.
She goes over to Kirk. Her father is listening from the other side of the screen that separates the two parts of the room.
There's a stain of cruelty on your shining armor, Captain. You could have spared him. And me. You talked of using tools. I was a tool, wasn't I? A tool to use against my father.
In the beginning, perhaps. But later, I wanted it to be more than that.
Later. Everything's always later. Later. Latest. Too late. Too late, Captain.
She looks up, her eyes hard.
You are like your ship. Powerful and not human. There is no mercy in you.
If he is Kodos, then I've shown him more mercy than he deserves. And if he isn't, then we'll let you off at Benicia. And no harm done.
He turns to leave.
Captain Kirk, who are you to say what harm was done?
What do I have to be?
He leaves her. In sickbay, Riley overhears McCoy making his log.
Medical log. Lieutenant Riley sufficiently recovered to be discharged, but Captain has ordered him restricted to sickbay to prevent contact with passenger who calls himself Caridian and is suspected of being Kodos, the executioner, and of murdering the lieutenant's family.
Riley's eyes widen as McCoy turns. He ducks out of sight.
Captain's log, stardate 2819.8. Suspect under surveillance. Strategic areas under double guard. Performance of the Caridian players taking place as scheduled.
In the Enterprise's small theater, Lenore enters through a door in a painted stone archway and crosses to the front of the stage.
Tonight, the Caridian players present Hamlet, another in a series of living plays presented in space, dedicated to the tradition of classic theater. Hamlet is a violent play about violent times, when life was cheap and ambition was God.
In the captain's cabin, Spock places two voice analysis readouts in front of Kirk.
I believe we have a match, Captain.
But not an exact match, Mr. Spock. We're dealing with a man's life. No machine can make that decision.
A long history of medicine. No doctor has ever caught the first few minutes of a play. Riley, don't forget that...
McCoy looks into the sick bay. It's empty.
Riley? Captain Kirk, McCoy here.
Yes, sir.
Riley's gone. I was recording my log about Caridian and Kodos. If he overheard...
You've made your point, Doctor.
Captain, security H-deck. The weapons locker has been broken into. One phaser is missing.
This is the captain. Security 2, alert. Find and restrain Lieutenant Kevin Riley. He's armed and possibly headed towards the ship's theater.
He hurries from his cabin. Armed security guards are already searching the corridors. On stage, Caridian is the ghost of Hamlet's father, holding a mask a few inches in front of his face, beckons to his son to follow him. Searching backstage, Kirk finds Riley in the wings, armed with the stolen phaser.
Whither wilt thou lead me? Speak, I'll go no further.
Mark me.
I will.
My hour is almost come, when I to sulfurous and tormenting fires must render up myself.
Speak, I am bound to hear.
So art thou to revenge. When thou shalt hear, I am thy father's spirit, doomed for a certain term to walk the night,
Riley.
And for the day
get back to the sickbay.
He murdered my father. My mother.
You could be wrong. Don't throw away your life on a mistake.
I'm not wrong.
But that I am forbid to tell the secrets of my prison house.
I know that voice.
I could a tale
that face, I know it. I saw
the slightest
it.
Word
he murdered them.
Thy soul, freeze thy young blood.
Kirk goes up to Riley.
It's an order.
List.
Give me the weapon.
List. If thou didst ever thy dear father love.
I get back to the sickbay. Go on.
Riley goes, leaving Kirk the phaser. Hamlet comes off stage, followed by Caridian. Lenore is waiting for her father, unaware that Kirk can overhear them.
Going beautifully. What is it? What's wrong?
There was a voice out of the past, haunting me, torturing me. There was another part I once played. Long ago, I never told you about it. And now that same curtain rises again. The time has come.
No, Father. The time will never come. Tonight, after my performance, the last two who can harm you will be gone.
What are you saying?
There were nine. Now there are only two. And they will be gone as soon as I have...
Caridian is staring at her in disbelief and horror.
Don't look at me like that.
What have you done?
They had to be done. They had to be silenced.
All of them. All seven. More blood on my hands.
No, Father, not anymore. I'm strong, Father. It's nothing.
Second act, 3 minutes.
We'll be ready. Don't you see? All the ghosts are dead. I've buried them. There's no more blood on your hands.
My child, you've left me nothing.
Kirk approaches.
You were the one thing in my life, untouched by what I'd done.
But you're safe now, Father. I've saved you. Now, no one can touch you.
Lenore sees Kirk.
Not even Captain Keck. See Caesar come.
She looks back at her father.
He is awed by your greatness.
Caridian looks at her, his eyes distraught.
Your shining brightness. Bright as a blade. Before it is stained with blood.
Bright as a blade. Come with me. Both of you.
Of course. After the play.
The play is over. It's been over for 20 years.
I was a soldier in a cause. There were things to be done, terrible things.
Stop it, Father. You have nothing to justify.
Murder, flight, suicide, madness. I never wanted the blood on my hands ever to stain you.
I did it for you. I've saved you.
By killing seven innocent men.
They weren't innocent. They were dangerous. I would have killed a world to save him.
Curtain going up. 1 minute.
Kirk detains Caridian.
The play, Captain. He must go on. This is the great Caridian.
God.
You cannot deny him his last performance.
Lenore grabs the guard's phaser.
No, I don't!
She runs on stage. The others follow.
You'll never get off the ship.
It will become a floating tomb, drifting through space. The soul of the great Caridian giving performances at every star he touches.
Her eyes are crazed. Kirk steps towards her.
I know how to use this, Captain.
No.
Caesar, beware the Ides of March.
No, child, no!
She fires and hits her father, who had stepped in front of Kirk. He falls dead. Kirk runs and wrests the phaser from her hand.
Father!
She kneels over him.
Father!
crown death. What feast is stored in thine eternal cell, that thou such a prince, and a shot so bloodily hast struck?
Kirk looks on.
The curtain rises. It rises. 'Tis no time to sleep. The play's the thing. It will catch the conscience of the king.
With the audience that had gathered for the Shakespearean tragedy of revenge still watching, Kirk helps Lenore to her feet and leads her away. Later, the Enterprise prepares to leave orbit. Kirk is in the captain's chair. McCoy comes in and hands him a medical tricorder. Kirk turns it on and studies it.
Medical report. She received the best of care, Jim. She remembers nothing. She even thinks her father's still alive, giving performances before cheering crowds. You really cared for her, didn't you?
Ready to leave Benicio orbit, Captain.
Stand by, Mr. Leslie. All channels clear to Uhura?
All channels clear, sir.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Leslie.
Leaving orbit, sir.
You're not going to answer my question, are you?
Kirk avoids McCoy's eye.
Ahead warp factor one, Mr. Leslie.
Then turns and looks at him. McCoy smiles.
That's an answer.
The doctor leaves the bridge. As he goes, the slight smile on Kirk's face fades, and the captain slowly bows his head. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.